we're talking about nations. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about what's coming out of you. Yeah. One will be greater than the other one. Come on, somebody. How many of us, when we have choices, we can't decide which one to make? Come on, when God gives us a promotion, come on, when God gives us a promotion, we still want to hold on to the old job and the new job. When God brings somebody away, you got that new friend. I got a new friend. But you're trying to hold on to the old friend. Oh, man. Well, I got some real, I want the real church. Right? When God is trying to set you up with something new, the new life, you're trying to hold on to the old life. Right? God is giving you a new ministry, but you can't take your hand off the old. Oh, I'm going to talk about it today. Wow.
Come on.
We don't want to let go. And the prophet is told Rebecca, oh no, they're going to divide. One's going to be stronger than the other. Now she's got to make a decision. And when these babies are born, she makes a decision. Oh, her favorite is the youngest one. She got an inside scoop, right? And her husband's favorite is the eldest one, is the oldest one, because he represents the old mind. He doesn't have the inside track. But he knows what he likes. He represents the old school, but Jacob represents something new, something different, something that is stronger. If the nations represent character of territory. A nation means a people who own territory or government. A government of people, that the government shall be upon his shoulders. And we shall call him my counselor, everlasting ruler. I got some church folks on there. Prince of Peace, everlasting father. To his government there shall be no end. She's got to make a choice on what she's going to do. What's she going to do? She's made her choice, and she got the inside track. She got the inside track. Isn't it amazing? How many of us have been in a situation where God has blessed us? And when God's blessed us, he gave us a word. He gave you a word. I don't know before then if she's ever gotten a word. Maybe her faith hinged on somebody else's testimony. I don't know, but when she got a word this time, how many of us, when we get a word from God, we try to help God out? Oh, come on, I got some church folks in here. Come on, I got some believers. The man of God says, you about to get a new house. And you know good and well you ain't never been on the internet, now you on Redfin. Come on, somebody. Come on. The man of God says, you know, your husband is on the way, or your wife is on the way. Come on. And now you on, what is it called, Christian Mingle. you don't even own a laptop. This is what we do. We want to help God out. We're going to help God in the process. Can you imagine this? This woman, Rebecca. Now she's gotten the word, and she's going to, I'm going to help you out, Lord, because I don't want to go through that process no more. You take too long. So I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out. Listen, God's promised me this new thing, and I'm going to help him. Oh, because I'm going to get this new thing. I'm looking at houses now. Isn't it amazing? The man of God can say, money's coming your way. I saw you walk into the casino. You don't even know what a scratch off is. And you using the scratch offs, you playing a lotto, trying to help God. This is what we do. You trying to help God. And this mess, this ideology bleeds off into her son. The one she loves, the one that's intense. The one she loves because of her anxiety, because of her suffering. because of the wrestling. Psychologists, or psychology, in psychology, they use the word avoidance. Avoidance. It's a way people try to cope. Avoidance. It's a way that people try to cope with their issues. Avoidance is dangerous. Let me drill this in. It's dangerous. Avoidance. Come on. I can't stand people who are passive aggressive. That's a form of avoidance. You talk to me face to face. You got a problem with me, you holler at your boy. Don't go around me, talk behind my back.
That's right.
Avoidance. It's a way you cope because you don't want to deal with the perception or the anxiety that may come along with it. You don't want to deal with that. And what you don't understand, that the anxiety or the pain or the suffering that you perceive that might come with it, you make it worse. Because you don't face it, you avoid it.
That's right.
You avoid it.
Uh-huh.
Avoidance. Yeah. Avoidance. You're keeping away from a person, a people, a thing, a topic, a subject, a situation, an environment. You're trying to, I ain't going there. And what's worse is when you have options, come on somebody, you play God and you avoid the process. When you have options, when God's giving you that word, oh, I'm going to go a different way because I don't want to go through that process. Hallelujah. And this is what's going on. I remember, Just this week, my wife took me. Oh, she just shadowed me this week. Mm-hmm. No. I love you. sometimes we get so busy, we just don't get time. Baby, I love you. My wife took me to New York earlier this week, and we went to all of the fun things. It's amazing when you're married, right? Your wife is taking care of you, but she do all the fun things that she likes doing. I don't get no husbands in here to say anything about that. With all of them, boy, with them. Yeah.
Preach, preacher.
I don't get no husbands in here to say anything. He know better. He gotta go home now. My wife takes us to, we go to this museum, the ice cream museum. And in the ice cream museum, you know, it's fun. You know, my wife's millennial, so you know it's. You know, here I am, I'm that guy, right? And it was a moment there where we're having fun, we're playing, and we get to a place where there is a slide, and the slide slides down two levels. And this slide is not like an open slide, it's an enclosed slide, and it goes to the ground, and it twirls and all this stuff. And when I saw it, I immediately associated that with a trauma. Is that okay if I talk like this? You go back to me. I associated it with a trauma because when I was a kid, I was locked into a bathroom when I was like 4 years old and I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out. And I was banging on the door and I couldn't get out. And I was banging on the door and I couldn't get out. And finally, my father, and oh God, let me tie it in. My father got me out. My father got me out. But even though my father rescued me, the trauma is still there. Because it's always the what if. What if my father doesn't show up? You gotta understand, fear is faith in the wrong what if.
Right, that's right.
Right? And so I see this slide, and my wife goes, listening for the stop. I look at my brother and I say, hey dude, how long is this slide? He was like, man, it's two floors. And then I heard, boom, yeah! And I'm like, mm-mm. I said, where the hell are we? You understand? You understand? When you have the option to avoid the process, right, you will miss out on the promise. You will miss out on playing God. See, I had options. If I had no options, I would have had to face it. But I had an option. And this energy, which you don't understand, is that your trauma, you spill out on those that you minister to, those that you parent, those that you influence, those that you are around. You share the same type of energy onto others. And this is thrown onto her son, Jacob, the one that the prophet promised all these blessings would happen to. She puts her trauma on her son. And so now he's living a life of trickery. He's tricking. He's avoiding, which is causing him to trick. Because somehow I'm going to win. I'm just going to win it without facing you. I don't have to fight with you or bust with you, but I'm going to win without facing you. And so he tricks. He begins to trick, playing God, avoiding the process, delaying the promise. Delaying it. So he tricks his brother. I'm not going to go into that story because I don't have time. You got to go back and read it. He tricks his brother out of his birthright. Right? It didn't belong to him. The birthright did not belong to him. It belonged to his brother, Esau. It didn't belong to him. I'm going to show you in a minute. It didn't belong to him. Right? So he tricks his brother, and then he goes and tricks his father. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is, but as I began to study the word, I always questioned, how was God going to do it? How was God going to make sure that Jacob, the promised son, would get the blessing that the prophet promised? How was he going to do it if it wasn't done like this? If Jacob and his mother Rebecca didn't play God in avoidance, how was God going to do it? And when I looked at the text, it's all there. In the text, when Jacob goes to his father as if he was Esau to trick his dad out of getting the blessing that was prophesied by the prophet in the beginning, he got a firstborn blessing. A firstborn blessing, when you're the firstborn child in the Jewish culture back in that day, you got three things, right? You got future blessings, meaning generational blessings. You were probably the most wealthiest amongst your siblings because you got 2/3 of the inheritance. And the last one, I think you got, and then you were the chief. You were the chief of the tribe. So it's as if when your father passes, you presume the authority. Right? That's if you go back and look at it in chapter 27, that's exactly the blessing that Isaac bestows on Jacob. That was Esau's blessing. That blessing did not belong to Jacob. What's for you is for you. Nobody can take it. And I'll teach more on that on Wednesday, what happened then. But what's for you is for you. Nobody can take your blessing. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll teach on it on Wednesday. I don't have time. But what's for you is you. Nobody can take your blessing. I'm going to prove it. But then after Esau, the brother that the blessing, that firstborn blessing belonged to, after he was angry and upset and ready to kill his brother Jacob, after all of that happened, his father calls Jacob back in. Isaac calls his son Jacob back in the room and says, let me give you your blessing. And his blessing, just summarizing it, he got the blessing of Abraham. He got Abraham's blessing. That was was the blessing that the prophet was alluding to. He was talking about the nation, that nation of people, that character of people. This is why not only the character, not only the nation, but he gave them land. Remember, Abraham's blessing was land, was people, right? And he got that land, and immediately Jacob sends him to a land to get married into a territory that wasn't with Gentiles. We're just straight. He was creating a people, and that blessing was deliberately set up for him. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, when you play God, you assume that everybody else is in the unknown. Isaac knew who the blessing belonged to. But when you're playing God and you're moving things around, will cause you to bump around, move around, and trick your way into stealing something that doesn't belong to you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if PNC Bank, Bank of America, says, you know what? We are going to give you $1 million. It's yours. But instead of you waiting on the process, instead of being waiting on that process, you go rob it. You go rob the bank, right? You rob it, and let's say you successfully rob it. But the money's marked. You can't spend it. So now he has a blessing that doesn't belong to him, but he can't stay and usurp his authority in the blessing. So they send him out. And now, because he avoided the process, playing God, the promise is delayed.
Yeah.
And he sent for another 20 years. Y'all follow me? Y'all follow me? Everybody's still waiting. Everybody's still waiting. And that way, promise is delayed. And so now, Jacob is on his own. He don't have mama's influence. And he got to go through the process for sure by himself. Now he's going through the process. And I don't have time to go through that whole spot. But now he's in a moment where he's got to make things right what he did in the past. Oh no, you can't get away with what you stole and not go back and face it. You got to face it. You can't avoid. Listen, is somebody in this room, let me minister to you. It's some things that in your life that you are avoiding. And I'm telling you, you will not get the promise until you face it.
All right,
I know. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you how to do it. But you're not going to get your promise until you face it. Come on, somebody. I just want to minister to you right now. The blessings of the Lord. As Jacob is on his way to face his brother, God sends him some unfinished business. He sends him a representative, a messenger, theophany, theology calls it, right? A messenger of God, an angel of God. He sends Jacob, this messenger of God, and there's a wrestle, there's suffering, there's tension. The thing that his mother was trying to get him to avoid. So you gotta understand, God will deal with you before you deal with man. Yeah. He's going to get you right. God's going to get you right. I'm thankful that God will get me right for some man.
Amen.
Or some woman. I'd rather God do it. You know, I love all men. So he's wrestling with this man of God, the Bible calls him, man of God. And there's a wrestle. One of us are trying to get advantage of one another. That's the wrestle. The toil, we're wrestling so that who's going to win? And the Bible says that Jacob was winning. Uh-oh. Jacob was beating the messenger. He was beating the man of God.
Yeah.
In other words, the man of God is spiritual. Jacob is physical. So the wrong nature was winning in the wrestle. You feel me? The wrong nature was winning in the wrestle. And so the Spirit of God touched him, causing his hip to dislocate. So now I'm looking at this, Lord. I'm like, Lord, why would you hurt him like that? Why would you cause some physical pain? And the Lord showed me that I had to take his flesh out of it. Because if I take your options from you, all you got is spirit. If I take your flesh from you, there's no options. As a matter of fact, there ain't no fight. There's no more suffering. You suffer because you got options. If there were no options, you wouldn't be no suffering. And there's a suffer, and there's tension, and there's a wrestle because I got two options. He took the flesh away. Now there's no option. Was it painful? Absolutely. But I can't use it no more. Come on. Come on. Come on. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh is always trying to prevail over the spirit. Yeah. He eliminated that flesh. He eliminated it. Ain't no fight. How do you know it ain't no fight, Pastor? Because the Bible says right after that, the angel of the Lord said, let me go. Yeah. What does that mean, Pastor? That he was just holding on and he wasn't fighting no more. Come on. The way you're going to get to your promise is your ability to hold on to the man of God. I'm talking to this church. I'm talking to this church. I'm talking to this church. Your ability to hold on to the man of God is a direct connection to your promise. I just wanted it to resonate for a minute. Not your ability to wrestle with the man of God. If you're still wrestling, then you're going to keep wrestling. But if you want to stop suffering, you're going to have to make a decision to suffer your flesh and hold on. Come here, honey. Because they ain't feeling me. They ain't feeling me. Plus, I'm going to love you, love on you anyway, brother. Is my wife. Hold on, baby. Your ability to hold on is your direct connection of how you're going to receive the promise that God has set for you.
Amen.
Your ability to hold on, not to fight. See, you think God wants you to be a fighter. He ain't looking for no fighters. He a fighter. He's fighting. He's the defender of your faith. He wants you to do this. Hold on. Hold on to the man of God. I wasn't going to preach. We live in a culture today that says you don't need a pastor.
Come on.
You don't need a leader. You don't need church. We live in a culture today that tries to go around with that nonsense. Come on. How can you call on him in whom they not believe? How they believe on him whom they not heard? How can they hear of him if there's not a preacher? Come on. How can there be a preacher if he hasn't been sent?
That's right.
Come on. Faith doesn't come by reading. Faith don't come by what you see. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why the Bible says, when the man who's descended, who's also ascended, Jesus Christ, left us gifts. Hallelujah. He left us gifts. He left prophets and apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He left them as gifts. What to do? What to do? Sharpen the church. To edify the church. To build the church. That's why. That's why you need a pastor. Y'all got a pastor that's a trainer too. Y'all fit. Y'all getting twisted. Listen, just because I ain't saying nothing about exercise, they don't mean we ain't going to be doing exercise. No pain time is coming. They don't back away. That's all. That's what it is too. We don't be fit. You got to lose that mentality. You need a pastor. Because your pastor, listen, Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. God set in place the set man, not me, not
that's
you.
Right. That's right.
God did that. And if you get the courage to stop fighting and hold on to the man of God. That is your direct connection to your promise. I'm talking about this church. This church. To your promise. Don't go. You can't go. Listen, I know some of us want to go around it. Mm-mm. You can't go around this. You gotta wrestle. And so Jacob says, bless me. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I want to talk to somebody today. Don't you leave this space. Don't you ever leave the man of God until he blesses you. There are people that walk out. Can I just talk a little bit? All right, talk a little bit. The game on. I don't care. You have people that will leave before the benediction happens. Come on, somebody. You may have left before you got a blessing with your name on.
That's right.
That's real. God set that up. And we leave and we run out before we get what we're supposed to get. Why did you come in the first place?
Right.
Why are we all here in the first place? Just come to hear me? Mm-hmm. Some of you did. Right? What did you come for? When John the Baptist was doing his thing and nobody cared about what he had on, man was wearing camel's hair, eating what, locusts and honey? That's crazy. I don't even know if I would want to be around this dude. That's crazy. Nobody cared about what he was wearing. Somebody wanted to go to him so they could get something from him.
Right.
Because he had something to give.
That's right.
He had something. That's why they went. I love it when Jesus says, when John the Baptist, what did you go and see? What did you go and see? And Jesus says, you saw more than a prophet. I know I'm going off, but I'm just waxing. Right? He says, more than a prophet. There was no greater prophet coming from a woman than John the Baptist. Nobody cared about what he had on. They cared about something real. Is there anybody in the house that wants something real?
Yeah.
You want your pastor to be real?
Yeah.
I hope you, because that's all I can be.
Yeah.
I can't be something else. I can't be something. I gotta be real. Come on, somebody. And he blesses him. He blesses Jacob. And he says, what is your name? And Jacob says, my name is Jacob, which means trickster. He took on, he embodied what everybody saw him to be. From birth, it wasn't his fault. He didn't know what he was doing. Grabbing his brother's foot, didn't think he knew what he was doing? He's a baby. And he took on the identity of what everybody wanted him to be or thought him to be. And so he went in the direction of what he was encouraged to be. Come on, don't ever listen, we gotta cover our babies. Because you got bonehead teachers out here telling our babies they'll never amount to
nothing.
And they'll believe it.
Yeah.
And now they're out on the corners washing your hands. Listen, forget me. But I remember back in the day when we used to be on those corners, we sell you drinks, sodas, popcorn. We had a whole convenience store on the corner. Now these brothers are pulling you over and saying, hey, listen, can you give me something to respect the hustle? Hustle? There's no hustle. This is hustling. Oh, you guys are squeezing your hand, man. Give me something to drink. Right? Because they were told they weren't nothing. This is not their fault. This is misguidedness. This is poor shepherding, poor parenting, poor teaching, poor education. This is why it's important for us to be in the community, making sure that we're shedding our love on our young people.
Yeah.
Give them the truth about love, that Jesus cares about them, that they're more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
Baby, you ain't just a conqueror. You more than that. What's more than a conqueror? Me. They want an example. And he says, your name will no longer be that, but your name will be Israel. Now I need you to understand this. He changes his name to a nation. He doesn't change his name. He doesn't change his individual name. I need you guys to understand what I'm saying. When you read this thing, you'll get it. He doesn't change his personal name. He changes what comes out of him as a nation. His name, Israel. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because when you read further text, you keep seeing the name Jacob. If you read the New Testament, they refer to him as Jacob. referring to him as Jacob. I thought he changed his name. The name was the nation. What will come out of you will rule. The youngest shall rule over the older. It's what comes out of you. It's the generation. It's the legacy. Your legacy now is renamed. Because your future was supposed to be in jail, tricking, doing your thing. Now your future is legacy. And the Bible says it's because he prevailed over God and man. What does that mean? That means he held on. Mm-hmm. What do you mean he prevailed over God and man? No, it means, no. In order to prevail over it, you got to hold on to something. You have to hold on. Your ability to hold on is the platform for you to receive your promise. Mm-hmm. I said your ability to hold on to the man of God is the platform for you to receive your promise. Your ability to hold on to the man of God is the platform for you to receive your promise. Jesus, hanging on the cross, he sees his loved ones, and he sees his mother. The trauma she's seeing her baby boy. I know she to Christ, I know, but that's her boy. And she got to sit there and see her boy suffer for you who don't even love. You don't ain't faithful to him. You that's on his phone right now. When the word's going forth, that the one that you daydreaming, when the blessing is going forth, right? She sees her boy hanging on the cross, and Jesus sees this. And he says, Mother, behold your son. Come on, come on. And he looks at his disciple John, the beloved. Oh, I say the best for last, the beloved. He's been training John. He's been training John, the beloved. Behold your mother. We all need a physical man of God representation of the authority of God here on earth that we can do what? Hold on to. That you can hold on to. And this is why Jesus says that. Some months ago, I was thrusted out as a pastor. Before I was even ordained, I was thrusted out in the position to preach to his people. Thrusted. And as I was thrusted out, there were so many things that was going on that, how do I do this? What do I do, Lord? And the first thing that came to my mind, we got to name this something. We got to give this a name. Lord, what is the name you want to give me? And for weeks, nothing. Nothing. And I'm talking, my wife and I are good at names. Oh, man, Ava, Abel, Jason. Don't y'all agree? I better, right? We couldn't name, but I couldn't figure it out. So then I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want our name to be? Because when I come in, into the sanctuary with your people, all I see is authentic, real people. They're authentic. It's real. What you see is what you get. Nobody faking. It's serious up in here. And I love it. We can be ourselves. We don't have to come in here with a halo. We can come in here like, yo, I need something from Christ. Showing up. And I ain't afraid to get my little dance on. You know what I mean? I ain't afraid. I'm not afraid to do that in here. Because this is not about you. It's about me. And I said, Lord, this is a real church. And when I look at that same text, and when he changed his name to Israel, I said, Lord, man, that is real. I said, Lord, that is real. And I said, Lord, that is real life.
Yeah.
started writing it on the board like Israel life. Not Israel life, Israel life. And I began to write it down some more. And I showed it to my wife. And she was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, that's us. We are Israel life. That's who we are. Because the world don't need fake and phony no more. They need somebody that's going to be real and real now.
Charged up, the virtue,
Now, if you don't know what that means, just come see me. I'm charged up with virtue. Your blessing is here. Amen. All right, Charles already got this. Don't come back up. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for all the offerings and the tithes and how whatever form in which your people has given with their hearts. We ask that you would bless it. You would receive it as sweet aroma into your nostrils. Receive it, Father. I pray that those that have given, that you would give back into them. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. Gather shall men come back and pour back into them their bosom. They shall be blessed. And for those that are not able to give but want to give, we are praying right now, God, that you would fill their pockets. Train them how to manage your people so that they will be faithful over the months, because that's coming. And Father, we give you glory. We give you thanks. It is in our Lord Jesus' name.